into his home, and Ruth accompanied Boaz into his home. And that night, Boaz and Ruth went into the same bedroom. And that night, they did what they have to do, says the Baalish Lael. Now, I've got to do what I've got to do and see that there's a child.
Well, what else?
That I would understand. Yes?
I was just saying, in the case of Boaz and Ruth, they were just carrying out mitzvot. They were obligated upon that. And I imagine Naomi, too, to a different degree. And Hashem, what's the mitzvah?
Without Hashem, there can't be a child born. The husband and wife can do whatever they want to.
So why is it saying...
Without Hashem, there won't be a child. It's still a miracle.
I understand, but yes. Why did it say I have to do what I have to do?
He says, now I must do what I've got to do, says the Baalish Lael. That isn't difficult to understand. But what is there? The point is that you equate Hashem with them, that is a point. But there's another point here. What has nobody got to do with the whole business? She's a
shadchan. She instructed Ruth.
A shadchan is the shadchan. Must she take her bed into the bedroom now? I'm the shadchan. So what's she got to do with it? What has Naomi got to do with it here?
Well, she had the son who set up this whole situation.
No, she didn't. No, not really. But it was over. It was over. After Naomi, it was over. But when her son died, it was over.
No, but there's a question of you, and that's how...
She was a goya.
Okay, but...
She was a goya. There's no question of evil. And in any case, it was a brother. The whole thing is on a much higher level, you see.
But wasn't she already a gerbet at that point?
No. But not at the time of death, afterwards.
Oh.
Afterwards she became a gerbet. After the death of her husband.
Gerbet before when she married her husband.
But listen, this is... There lies that. The whole point lies in that. The whole point. I could say that what Boaz did was chesed, but chesed with a motive. It's still chesed. Even with a motive, it's still chesed. Chesed with a motive. Off he gets a very nice wife. An old man, and he gets a very nice wife. He gets, can't say he doesn't get anything out of it. Ruth, poor girl, she hasn't got anything. She marries Boaz, the wealthiest man, surely provides for her, he gives her a kasuba that she'll never be in want of anything. He is the shofet. So it means he is what Moshe Rabbeinu was in his day, that is, Boaz is in his day.
Shofet.
He was the judge. This is the period of the shofetim. So she gets... All right, she marries her. She does a good deed to that man. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you, Yaakov. Thank you. I could say she does it. All right. It's a chesed to Boaz. He's a widower. It's a chesed to Boaz. I could say so. Naomi, what did she get out of the whole thing? What did she get out of it? What she did. Look the way she looked after Ruth. Ruth gets married to him. She is the one that gets the least out of it.
I think it's satisfaction doesn't count.
I mean, look what she does. She takes Ruth, first of all, listen to this. You speak about satisfaction. If you think you've got to really go into her soul. She is married to her husband for 10 years, Ruth. During those 10 years, does Ruth become a Jewess?
Apparently not.
Would it have pleased Naomi that she should become a Jewess?
Wouldn't say so.
Certainly.
Of course it would have pleased her. Did Naomi ever speak to her about becoming a Jewess? Certainly not. Because when she wanted to become a Jewess, Naomi said, you don't have to. Leave it alone. It's better for you to know.
But those have to be so-called.
So what do you think that she would do? When the husband was alive, she wanted Ruth to become a Jewess, and Ruth didn't want her. And now when Ruth wants to become Jewish, she'd say, you don't have to. Ruth would say, what's the matter? Before you did just because I was your daughter-in-law, then you wanted me to become. What kind of a work is this? That's what that's not a gayrus. That you wanted me to become a Jewess, what kind of a gayrus is that? And now when I really want to, you don't want me to. It would be ridiculous. The whole story would fall to pieces. It would go into the literary Reader's Digest. It wouldn't be a book in the Torah. The whole thing doesn't work then. So all those years she doesn't ask her to become a Jewess. She would have wanted it. That's not the important thing. Doesn't ask her. When Ruth wants to become a Jewess, is it better for Naomi that she should come become a Jewess or not, even at that stage? When Ruth says, I don't want to leave you, I want to go with you. Is it better for Naomi that she should go with her or she should not go with her? But there's no question about it. So why does Naomi say, don't come with me? And she pleads with her. And she makes a hekesh with her. Your sister-in-law has chosen the way of returning. She goes back to her parents. She'll get something there. I've got nothing to offer you. I can't offer you a husband. I've got nothing to offer you. You're going into poverty. You're going into disgrace. It's better for Ruth not to become a Jewess. Does she get anything out of it? On the contrary. She doesn't do what is better for her. She does what is better for us. In Boaz, we don't know. In Ruth, we don't know. But in Naomi, we do know that what she does is without any self-interest. She's not thinking of her own advantage.
Excuse me, I somehow things got scrambled for me. When she did what? What specifically was it that she did which was best for Ruth and not best for herself?
When she didn't ask Ruth to become a Jewess when she was her daughter-in-law.
Because it would have been better for Ruth not to be.
When
for her own good. For Ruth's own good.
It wouldn't have. It would have been perhaps for when afterwards. When Naomi hasn't got a husband, and she hasn't got a child, and she's going back, and Ruth wants to accompany her and become a Jewess, she says, no, don't do it. Three times she says, don't do it. For whose good does she do it?
For Ruth's, obviously.
And for her own good, what would have been better?
It would have been better to have Ruth accompany her.
So all she had to say, she said, you know, think over it. Think over it. That's all. But to explain to her, and then to tell her, look, your sister-in-law's gone back already. She's doing the right thing. She's going back to her parents. You can go back to your parents. You're a princess here. I can't give you a husband. Your parents can. And Ruth said, I won't leave you. I want to be Jewish. I want to be exactly as you are. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, Naomi did what she had to do. And Boaz and the Rebbeinu Shlomo, Naomi doesn't play any part here. What does Naomi come into it? He says, the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, because Naomi did what she did, and Boaz did what he did, therefore the good that Boaz did was of the same quality as the good that Naomi did. That means that Boaz did what he had to do, not what he would get out of it. Didn't do it for that. He did it only because of Ruth. And Ruth did what she had to do. It's the same quality as Naomi's. So Ruth did what she did for Boaz, not because of what she get out of it. She did it for Boaz. She was able to take herself out of it altogether. In that case, who is there that does things and doesn't do it for what he can get out of it? The Rebbeinu Shlaim. Rebbeinu Shlaim. Look what the Rebbeinu Shlaim does with us. Baruch Hashem, we come, we've got to eat. Does the Rebbeinu Shlaim get anything out of it? So the Rebbeinu Shlaim is the only one that does things and he doesn't get anything out of it. Fine. Says Rebbeinu Shlaim, if three human beings can do that, and in the same circumstances do things and they get nothing out of it, says Rebbeinu Shlaim, in that case, I will do mine. What does it mean he does? That they get a child? All right, every child is a miracle. But why? Yep, now the Rebbeinu Shlaim comes in. What does he do? Can you still take it?
Please.
Can you still take it? Tell me just a little bit before you can't take it anymore. Tell me, then I stop. Can you still take it? Now, let's go on. Now, look what happens. Every child that is born into this world is born for a purpose. The only thing is that the purpose for which he is born, he needs certain qualifications. Those qualifications are in the genes. Get it from his parents. It's possible that they've been dormant. They might have been dormant for 1,000 years, but they are there. And if he's his, if he finds out what he's been created for, he's got to develop that. He's got to develop those genes. Take them out from their dormant state, from a state of potentiality to a state of actuality, of activity. He's got to activate them. So a person does. But what he is, he's got from his parents already. Hashem gives him an uvdo in the world. How do you say uvdo in English?
Task.
Task, yes. A purposeful task. Gives him purposeful task in the world. But all that, he's got it in him. There are some exceptions. Where the Rebbeinu Shlaim gives the child something that he doesn't get from his parents. We get it in the case of Shimshon. What Shimshon had, he was created specifically to save the Am Yisrael from the Plishtim at a particular time. What he got, he didn't have from his parents. Something there Hashem gave him. Here comes people have show something, reach a stage where they are able to do an act of chesed, where they themselves get nothing out of it. They didn't have it in their genes. This is what they were able to achieve. They reached these heights at this particular moment, reach these heights. Hashem says, I'm going to do mine now. This ability to do without any self-interest whatsoever is now going to become natural in their offspring. That is David HaMelech. And that is the Melech HaMoshiach. That is the Melech HaMoshiach. that he is able to do something. Whatever he will do, when the Melech HaMashiach comes, without any kind of self-interest, not because his photograph is going to be in the B'nai B'rith Messenger. That's not the reason for it. No self-interest whatsoever. Not because he's going to get a good salary out of it. Not because a special coin is going to be struck in his honor. Nothing at all. His only interest will be, the establishment of Malchus Shomayim upon the earth. That will be his only interest. He'll seek the welfare of the people. He will seek the welfare of the Am Yisrael without any other thought in his mind. That is Malchus based on it. David HaMelech had it. It is true, not all in that long line of kings that started with David HaMelech, long line of kings, it's true not every one of those kings had it. Not every one of them. But the gene is there. It was dormant, came up again in Chizkiyahu, dormant again, Chizkiyahu, we see it. But when the Melech HaMashiach comes, and he's descendant of David, that is what will be for us. That will be the greatness of the Melech HaMashiach. No thought at all for himself. Nothing. Now, I'm not finished yet. Can you still take it?
Oh,
I thought you put up your hand because I was stopped. Now, if you can take it as far as that, take it a little bit further. We have a principle. For example, thank you, you see, for example, there is a deal, one of the 613 mitzvahs is that we must believe in the Mashiach. Mashiach will come, we've got to believe in it. Isn't that so? And where is that mitzvah? According to the Rambam, and according to the Ramban, that mitzvah is in Netzavim, I think it's in Netzavim. Where is that mitzvah in Netzavim? Where it says, V'shov Hashem Elokecho es Shevusecho v'rachamecho. The correct translation is, and Hashem your God will return together with your return, and he will have mercy on you. What does it mean? Hashem will return together with your return. So where has he been? So he's also in California. So it's not only we are in California. When we will go back to Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Mashiach, Hashem will go back with us from California. So it means everything that's happening in California now, Hashem is also here. That is Imo Onochi Vetzoro. That principle is Imo Onochi Vetzoro. Hashem is with each one in sorrow. Now that Hashem is in each one with sorrow means that he is suffering the same as that person is suffering. That is being with him in sorrow. That he is suffering together with the Am Yisrael. In California, he's suffering much more than the Jews of California are suffering, because the Jews of California don't know that they have got a far advanced spiritual cancer in their cells. They don't know it, but Hashem knows it. And he's suffering. Hashem is suffering. And when Moshiach comes and we go back, Hashem goes back together with us. Imo onochi betzora. So we see that Hashem is suffering. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't want anything for ourselves. Hashem is the Melech. All we want is Malchusa d'Ishmael al Oretz. V'yamlich Malchusei v'chaye cholu v'yomei cholu v'chaye d'chol beis Yisrael. We want Hashem to establish his Malchus. That's all we are interested in. Nothing for ourselves. Is it possible or isn't it possible? With the Melech HaMashiach it's possible. Is it possible or is it not possible? For 352 days of the year? No, certainly not possible. Is it possible for 2 days in the year for us to be on that height? Is it possible? Is it possible? Until the time of the Gaonim, evidently it was possible. The Gaonim. That's about the year 700. 600 already, common era. When the Gaonim came along, in the time of Gomorrah it was possible. In the time of the Gomorrah, no one prayed for himself on Rosh Hashanah anything. The Gaonim came along and they made an insertion. Zochreinu l'chayim. Melech of Eitz b'chayim. Remember us for life. Is that asking Hashem for something? Yes or no?
Yes, seems so.
Of course. We are asking Hashem for life. Zochreinu l'chayim. We are asking Hashem for life. The Gaonim put it in. Why did they put it in? They, in their day, they knew that they couldn't do it anymore. In the time of the Gemara, they could still do it. In their day, they knew that they couldn't do it anymore. We'll play the Yamlich Malchusei. The Chai Yechel. The Yom Echel. In our days, may we still have something of it. It's already self-interest. They realized that they had already deteriorated to that extent that they couldn't do it. So what did they ask for? Zochrei Lechai. Life. That we may serve Hashem, give us the life of Jesus. That's all. Sov l'chaim tovim. It went still further. Arayim gechap noch a bit. Putting something extra. Because they knew the safer. The Sefer Chaim, the Sefer Chaim, Tevim, the Sefer Chaim, Tevim, Uvrocha, Veshalem, Uvarnosa, Teva, we already put Parnosa, Teva in there. We can't be without it. Go still farther, we say that, further we say the whole of the Avinu Malkeinu. Say Avinu Malkeinu. We can't do it. And if we did do it and we didn't pray it, it would be much worse. Which that means we wouldn't say it, but we would think it. Which it is. So let us rather say it and circumscribe it and say that and nothing else. That the Zochrein Ulachayim was put in later. It was put in by the Golem. It's not part of the Brocha. That's on the. So if you don't say it, if you just don't say it. If you forgot to say it, you forgot to say it. Then you don't say it over again. That is the seichel of it all. Now, do you understand what it's about? That is the seichel of those few things that we insert on Rosh Hashanah. And you've got the whole legend now. There's nothing really else to it. But the idea of Rosh Hashanah is to be concerned only about Hashem. We get nothing out of it. Only of Hashem. That's our only concern. We know already that we can't do it. But as much as possible. So we say the Zochreinu L'chaim. We say the Yikosveinu B'Sefer L'chaim. We say Avinu Malkeinu. But that's all.
No personal.
That's what we do in Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is altogether a different question. Yom Kippur, we come to Hashem as a child comes to a father. But this is one day that we try and do. That is the spirit of Rosh Hashanah that we try to achieve. Now let us go on with our Gemara. Daf Yud Aleph Omid Aleph, and we start with the Mishnah. I think that the Gaon didn't say Shlokes Sevidus in Rosh Hashanah. I kept away from that. I'm almost certain he didn't say Shlokes Sevidus in Rosh Hashanah. Now, gentlemen, I don't think he said Hashem Hashem Keo Rachum Mechanim. I'm not sure. But something is at the back of my mind that on Rosh Hashanah he didn't say it. But I said, he made sure he said it. He said it on Slichas, he said it. Before, says he was a Jew, or not Kippur, very much so, but not at any other time. I'm not certain about that. It just seems to be at the back of my mind, something. Because that also is already, but although that I can answer, when we're allowed to say, we're allowed to speak about the attributes of Hashem, without asking that he exercise them, any particular ones to us in this particular moment. But we can say so there's nothing wrong in saying it. Alright, now we begin our Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows. Hagyures v'ashvua v'ashivcho sheniftu v'shenizgayru v'shenishtachraru v'chusos mi'bedel sholim v'yom e'cholim sholim v'yom e'chod k'suboson mosayin. A converted, a woman who has been converted, or a captive woman who has been redeemed, or a bond servant who has been given her freedom, when each one of these was less than 3 years and one day of age, then when they get married, their kesubah is 200, and there is a taina of pesulim. There is a claim. The husband has got a claim of pesulim. If he finds that they are not pesulas, he's got a claim of pesulim. they lose their kesubas there. That is what the Mishnah tells us. What do you want to ask, Yaakov?
Well, would you think that this three category of women would be different from another?
Particularly if this all happened 3 years ago.
I can't hear.
Why would you think that these three categories, a woman or a little girl in one of these three categories would be different from...
Because if we take it that if a woman has been captured, that her captors make use of her.
Yeah.
Doesn't say she was 3 years of age or...
Normally speaking, if a woman is captured, her captors live with her. No force is necessary. Shivcho is you've got to get clear what a shivcho is. A shivcho is the feminine equivalent of an Eved Knani, of a Canaanite slave.
Is that what Sarah called Hagar?
No.
She wasn't.
But that's what Sarah called her.
Yes. But this is the technical term.
She was a polygamist.
This is the technical term. And the technical term is she's a Knani, that is, she's a Canaanite woman, and she becomes a slave to a Jew. Not a Jewish slave, but she becomes a slave to a Jew. How does she become a slave to a Jew? She can become a slave to a Jew in several ways. She can come to a Jewish family, and she can say, "Buy me, I want to be a slave." And they can buy her, and she takes the money and gives it to her parents, or to her brother, or to her sister, who need it, and she becomes a Jewish slave. She can become a Jewish slave because I want to live with Jews. I'd rather be a Jewish slave than a Canaanite non. It's a much higher status. So she comes and she wants to be a Jewish slave. So there are various ways in which a man can inherit a Jewish slave. That his father had slaves. And they are children, and he inherits them. So those are the ways in which. Now, what you've got to know is the law is that immediately a Canaanite becomes a slave, the first thing you do, you circumcise him, and after that, he observes all the negative precepts in the Torah. The only precepts that he doesn't observe are the mitzvahs asayshias mangrom. You know what those are. Those are mitzvahs that are caused by time. For example, he doesn't have to wear tzitzis because in the night time we don't wear tzitzis. He doesn't have to put on tefillin because in the light time we don't put on tefillin. He doesn't have to bench lulav because lulav is only on. He doesn't have to sit in the sukkah, but he's got to keep Shabbos. Shabbos comes only once a year, but the negative precept is you mustn't work on Shabbos. That he's got to do, and since he's got to do the negative precept, then he's got to do its opposite positive number. So that Yom Tov he's got to keep. Kashrus he's got to eat. He's not allowed to eat the Velas of Trefus. He's got to eat only Kashrus. He can't go to Alaska and eat reindeer meat. He's got to keep kosher. Clear?
Why do we then make a distinction between a Shivcha and a Girut?
A Girut has got to keep because the Shivcha's opposite number is the Eved Knani.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to put on tefillin, but a geir has to put on tefillin.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but where do we make a distinction between the obligations of the shivcho and the geir?
The reason that a shivcho hasn't got to put on tefillin is because this doesn't concern. It's not in her category at all. Avodim and Shepochas don't put on tefillin. doesn't come. In the case of a Judas, the reason that he doesn't put on tefillin is because a woman doesn't put on tefillin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different thing altogether.
I know, but what I'm saying is, what are you telling me new? If you would have said...
Everything I tell you, you heard at Mount Sinai. The only thing is you don't remember.
There's certainly something I don't know. What I'm asking is, what does it tell us new to tell us Shifka? If it would have said Giyuret, don't we automatically know that a Shifka is a Giyuret?
It tells us it's not speaking about a Tefillin, it's speaking about a Basili.
I understand that. But don't we understand everything that applies to a Giyuret applies to a Shifka as far as Metula?
No, it's a different thing. I've told you. To a Giyuret, it applies because, if it doesn't apply, it doesn't apply because she's a Jewish woman. But if a Shifra doesn't apply, it's because she hasn't yet got her Shichrur.
But there's no such thing as a Shifra that's a Jewish woman. Aren't we defining it that she cannot be?
Can you understand what I'm saying? Yes, I can. Because I'm obviously missing something. I had a similar problem when it first started.
Yeah, then you would understand. All right. Now listen, Charles.
Absolutely.
The problem is that since neither of them are required to do mitzvahs eses teres mangas rama.
Yes.
Regardless of the reason that one is because one is a shifcha and one is a giyaris. Charlie doesn't understand that because they're in the same legal category with regards to certain mitzvahs, why shouldn't they be in the same legal category with regards to basulim?
Absolutely.
Yes. Let me ask you another question first.
Yeah.
Has a Jewess got to put on tefillin?
No.
Has Nancy Reagan got to put on tefillin?
Obviously not.
Say she's a Jewess, it's the same thing.
No, that's arguing backwards.
No, it's not.
Does the dead man have to put on tefillin? Does a Jewess have to put on... No, then all Jewesses are dead men? Obviously not.
No, I'm saying that they both don't have to put on tefillin, but for altogether different reasons.
I understand what you're saying, Charles.
Is there such thing as
a shifcha, which is a Jewess?
No, you can't be a shifcha.
Okay,
a Jewess.
In that case, why can't we, for this purpose, simply say a giyuret, period, and we'll understand that a shifcha is automatically included within the category of giyuret, as a kol v'chomer. If a giyuret is going to be in the category of being able to gain 200 and therefore being a time of betulim, then we understand that every shifcha is a giyuret.
I can say that a shifcha, since she was already born as a shifcha. As I said, she's born as a shifcha, she's already in a different category from a woman who's born as a goya.
She's not a giyaris.
It's a big difference.
A shifcha is not a giyaris.
What is she?
She's a shifcha.
She hasn't been given shichrur. She's minus shichrur. Shichrur means freedom.
But she's not a Jewess.
No.
But she's not a goya anymore.
Okay.
Is all right. Status of shifcha.
Okay.
But presumably, from what we're understanding here, shifcha can marry a Jew.
No, she can't. That's for sure. Not only can't she marry a Jew, she can marry an Eved Knani. That she can marry.
Can't marry a Jew, no.
Then why is there a question in Ketubot?
Why is there a kind of assumption?
Because she gets her freedom. She gets her freedom. Let us say when she was 6 years old, she got her freedom. Or she was 8 years old. Or she was 15 years old and she got her freedom. Or 17 years old, and now she marries a Jew. As soon as she gets her freedom, she's a full Jewess.
I see.
Okay,
after she gets her freedom, is she considered to be a Jewess?
A full Jewess.
She's not a
Jewess. No, she's a Jewess. That's the same.
Could she marry a Kohen? and when she's got her. She's born and she's caught.
Yes.
And she gets her freedom when she's six.
No, then she can't anymore. Then she can't anymore. But if she was got her freedom before she was three, I don't see why she shouldn't be able to. If you got it, that'll become clear a little bit later on. Yes, Philip.
I think I can think of one time when a ship does marry a Jew, when a Jew sells himself as a slave and has a wife already, then his master can give him a shifkas to make children for the master.
Yes, but she doesn't become his wife. She doesn't become his wife.
But he has the option when he leaves to take her.
No. He has the opposite to stay and not go.
Right, keep her.
Yes. No, that he can't do. Have you got that now? But you see, I'm not going to deal with this question, but Michael, just to make confusion worse confounded, in order to be able to get the story correct, you see, then you can see where you're going. Let us say, a man has got, two men have got an Eved Kanani partnership. Right? And another two men have got a Shifcho Kanani in partnership. They got in partnership. What happens? The one man gives the Eved his freedom. But he's only one. And the other master doesn't give the Eved a freedom. So this Eved is a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Choli. Half is free and half is not free. Half is a slave. You understand, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Now, the Shifcho also, her one master gives her freedom. And her other master doesn't. So she is Chatzi Shifcho, Chatzi Bas Choli. Is that right? Simple. That part is simple. What's not simple is, now, this Eved, this Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chori, wants to marry this Chatzi Shifcho Chatzi Bas Chori. That is a problem that the Gemara discusses.
Can an Eved marry a Shifcha? A full Eved marry a
Shifcha? Yes, a full Eved can marry a Shifcha, and the children are either Avonim or Shifchas, depending on their sex. Strange as that might seem, yeah. Yes, sir.
So what's the... Oh, I see. It would just seem logical that if they are both in identical status, they should be able to...
Well, yes, the only thing is, we don't know what half will come into contact with what other half. That perhaps the Chatzi Ben Chorin of the Eved, that half, the free half, will come into contact with the non-free half of the Shifcha, and you're in trouble. You follow? So you can't do it. So it's only if there's a full freedom they can marry one another. Or if they are both in the same status. So we are very careful, we don't like that. It's not right. Because you put them into an impossible position. But I'll just, if you want problems, I'll give you problems. Proper problems. Not problems that are easy to answer, then they're going to be real problems if you want them.
Rabbi, just for general. The general thing that would happen is if an Eved Kanani is freed, does he then become a Jew?
Yes.
Complete. And the same applies to a Shifcha Kanani.
Yes. The only thing is that if a full Eved is freed, he can be reckoned to the Minyan. And if a full Shifcha is freed, she can't be reckoned to a Minyan.
Well,
but not because she's a Shifcha, because she's a woman.
Obviously.
That's all fine. You say obviously. 10 minutes
ago. A Shifcha is somehow in a status somewhere between being a Giyuret and somewhere between being a Bat Yisrael. Well, not Bat Yisrael. Heaven forbid.
Excellent.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
That's Sherlock Holmes here. Got it. You don't mind my speaking to you like that?
No, no, I don't mind at all. Just because, I want to get the understanding.
Yes, because it helps me to explain it if I explain that. Fine. That's correct. That's absolutely right. That is defined. Got that clear?
Thank you.
Right. Now, what is the idea?
The order of commission doesn't seem to be followed.
Yes, yes, go.
First it says a dioris, and then a captured woman, and then a shifra. And when it talks about first redemption and then conversion, it should be, if it mentions a dioris first, it should talk about the fact that she was Messiah first.
Oh, that's a question. That's a question. Cool. But did you want to ask that question too? That is a question, are they? Or does they flick me? That is a question. We'll call Hagurius 1, Hashmuya 2, Shivcha 3. Then it says, Sheniftu, who were redeemed. So that's number 3. Vishen is Gairu, or so we're going backwards. All right, so we're going backwards. Vishen is Gairu, that's 1. So we're not going backwards. Vishen is Tachru, I'm sorry. Sheniftu is number 2. Vishen is Gairu is number 1. The Shemichtachruru is number 3. The way to have done it was Hagyures v'hashvuyo v'hashivcho Shemizgayru v'sheniftedu v'neshishtachruru. That would have been a correct order. That is a question. Oh, so we've got two asked a very good question. Any other questions you'd like to ask? Here's an interesting thing. That's an interesting thing. Let me rather deal with another question also which you should have asked.
Take a chance. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I think it doesn't seem a bit redundant that we are told that Hirksuba would be 200 and Vieshlan and Tanis Pesulim. Why would we think that there should be Tanis Pesulim when she's getting a ksuba of 200?
All right, that's not so serious. I mean, that you can just say that these goes to go together, as it was before. Ksuba was a Messiah, but yes, and Tanis Pesulim.
So just a pattern.
This is a technical thing already. Mm-hmm. That's not so serious. Another question is it right? It says, what does the viewers mean? A woman who converts, and what is the relative verb for the woman who converts? Vishen is Gairu, who became converted. Shouldn't it have said Hanochris, the Gentile woman who became converted, not the converted woman who became converted?
Mm-hmm.
You follow? You don't understand?
I think I know the answer.
You can't?
We're not talking about her in her Gentile state. We're talking about her now at the time he's marrying her. She's already.
That's right. That's quite right. That's quite right. It's speaking. Yes, it's speaking. But isn't it? But it's speaking about her now. That's true, Philip. But if you just look at it carefully, it says the Gyuris who became Miss Gaia when she was less than 3 years old. So which would be correct? Logically. Strictly logically.
That's whether you're looking at the second half of the sentence.
Doesn't matter. Oh, you know. It doesn't matter. I'm speaking now, this woman, but she became a Jewess when she was less than 3 years old. Not anyway, but I'll deal with it. Anyway, those are the two questions that we've got to understand. Now, please, let me just explain this to you. Let us take the first question, and that is why it's Geulis and it's Nochri, not Nochris. When we are speaking, we are calling her Shvuyo, Philip. Is she a Shvuyo now? By the way, please, if you don't understand the words, you must ask me, is she a Shvuyo now? Is she a captive woman now?
No.
Then why do we call her a Shvuyo? It should have said, oh, Isho, she nifdu. You follow? But it's still, it calls her that. A Shivko, is she a Shivko now? But it still calls her a Shivko. So, Geulis, it should have said, Anochris. You follow the question. If you're going to be consistent, that is the way it should be. So, and now I've got to get on the, just remember what you want to, it's important to very much.
Is there a noun for a sheep crop that's been redeemed? I mean,
she's a bus cousin, she's a Jewess.
No,
she's
I mean,
a bus cholly.
A special word for a gay road, the gay roads.
Oh, so she's a bus cholly. Call her bus cholly. Anyway, bus would be a bus cholly. So, the reason for this is, the reason why it's put like that is, it's true. Strictly speaking, it should have said Hanochris. But we are dealing with a woman where she is now, she's a Jewess. And there's a special law about Galilee. And that is, one does everything one possibly can, provided it's within reason. One does everything one possibly can not to bring up that they are converted. Why not? We don't want them to feel any different from us. You follow? We don't want them, not that we bring up that they're converted. What we don't want to do is to mention their pre-conversion days. We don't want to mention when they were not part of Am Yisrael. A Gael is part of Am Yisrael. We pray, Al-Tzadiki, Val-Hasidim, Val-Dikreyam, Al-Pabes Yisrael, Val-Pretas, Sel-Prehem, Val-Gairei Al-Tzadik. We pray for Gaeli. You follow? The Gael is alright. But to make mention of it, that he was a Nochri before, we do everything we can not to bring that up. So that is why we are dealing with her when she's a Geulis already. Strictly speaking, it should have been Anochris, but we will call her Geulis. As far as the Shvuyah and the Shiv was concerned, Shvuyah, it wasn't her fault. It wasn't her fault. Shiv has got another deen altogether about which we'll speak a bit later. That's the first case. Now, we've got to get the order. Now, it's an interesting thing. This is the Shita Mekabetza speaks about that. It makes a simple thing. It says the Mishnah starts off with which are the ones that come up more frequently. Which are the ones that come up more frequently?
Geurot would seem to be the most common.
Of course, that is comes first. That is comes first. Which would be the second one that comes up at most?
Shivcho.
I mean, I've had to do with Geulis, I've had to do with Shvuyo. I haven't had to do with Shivcho. All right, there are no Shvokas today. But it would have been very difficult to do with Shivcho. There is a special deal. And please don't ask me to go into the philosophy of it, because we've done enough philosophy to last us for this year. And unless I've got to, I wouldn't like to do any more. The deal is of an Eved Knani. Knanim, there is a mitzvah. If a person frees a Canaanite slave, he transgresses an asay. Because it says, Le'olom ta'avodu bohem, you shall always keep them as slaves. If you give them the freedom, they become free. But the din is always to keep them as slaves.
That's long after Noah.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Is that long after Noah also?
Yes,
that's
right.
But it goes back to Noah.
Khan. Who's Khan?
Right.
What was his father's name?
His father's name was Khan.
Yeah. And this is something for his behavior, for Ham's behavior, And Ham brought his son into it still. Brought his son into it. He still brings Canaan into it. Still brings his son into the mess.
Isn't an Eved Kanani just a generic term for any non-Jewish slave, or is it specifically only those?
We are speaking now about an Eved Kanani.
Okay.
Particularly Eved Ba'om of a Gam Yeres. Yes, it says, you say, V'avdufa Mosrashi Yulach Ma'isa, and your slave and your man slave and your woman slave, which will be to you from the nations that are round about you, from them you may buy a slave and a woman slave, and you shall cause your children to inherit them after you. That is, Loretius Achuzala, your children will inherit them afterwards. La Olam Bohemta Avodu. You shall always keep them as slaves. Got it? Have you become dull all of a sudden? Let me go over this again.
No, sir. Yes, sir.
The dam mit nei hatusho bima gori mi mochem mehem tiknu umi mishpach so mashel mocham asher olidu ba'arzachem. The hoyu lochem la'achuzo, and they, the slaves, shall be to you for a possession. The hisnachalti mosom livnei chem achareichem. And you shall cause your children after you to inherit these slaves that are your possession. Achuzo, as a possession, le'olom pohem ta'avodu, you shall always work with them. But not with a Jew. Because Hashem redeemed a Jew is also a slave. But Hashem says, Avodai, the B'nai Yisrael are my slaves, but they're avodim la'avodim, and not slaves to slaves. Hashem says, Avodaihe, they are my slaves, but not slaves to slaves. But Hashem didn't make the other nation slaves, so they can be your slaves. And with an Eved Kanani, if a person frees an Eved Kanani, he goes out free and he becomes a full-fledged Jew. Becomes a full-fledged Jew. But he's over an essay. He transgresses a positive precept. It says, La olam ta'avodu, you shall work with him forever. Is he working with him forever? He's giving him his freedom. No, he transgresses.
It appears to me to be like a mitzvah bo me'avera.
Why?
Because he would never get to be a Jew unless he would be
over an avera. He doesn't have to be a Jew. He's gone very far in the world as it is. Am I going to become a millionaire? I earn $500 a month. I thank the Rabbanu Shlalem that I earn $500 a month.
But isn't it like a psikoresh for Yomus?
Why?
Because as soon as he's Mashachar, he's a Jew.
So what is it? As soon as I get $1 million, I'm a millionaire. So what is it? I've got to have it.
Okay, but if you steal the $1 million, does that still make you a millionaire?
No, but he doesn't steal it. But
his owner, he becomes
a Jew, you mean he becomes a Jew as an Avera?
As an Avera, through the Avera that he was over the Avera.
Sorry, I didn't follow what you said. I'm sorry, please.
Sorry, I'm not making it clear.
No, forgive me. You made it clear. I just didn't get it. So your question is that when the Goy, when the Eved, when he becomes a Jew, he's become a Jew through the wrongdoing
of a Jew.
All right. But he hasn't done anything wrong.
But it's the same thing of saying,
yes,
it's probably not a good analogy. It's the only thing
I steal an Esrog,
right,
and I bench with a stolen Esrog, if I steal an Esrog, then I haven't got a mitzvah. It's not mine. It's a mitzvah bo ba'avero. But here, he hasn't done it. It doesn't prevent him from becoming a Jew. I have done not right. But he becomes a Jew.
Wait, can Shimon steal an Esrog and give it to Levi, and Levi benches that Esrog?
You can't give something
to
Levi.
No, I'm saying, here's what we're looking at, though. He has stolen it, and then he gives it up.
No. He makes it free. Gives him his freedom. You say, don't do it, but if you do it, you made it free. Yeah. There's another case like that, and I can't call it to mind. There's another case also that you shouldn't do it, but if you've done it, you've done it. Yes, I'll give you another case. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. But if he marries a Grusha, he's got to give her a get afterwards. But Kedushin Devsi. You want to be all cases like that.
There's another problem, Rabbi, that I'm having, and that is that it seems to me that an Eved Kanani comes on as an Eved Kanani to the Jew. He's not thinking of becoming a Jew, he's thinking of becoming an Eved.
Yes.
All right?
Yes, it is.
So he's got to go halfway towards.
He doesn't have to. If he says, look, I don't want all this business, the business to raise. We don't want it, we don't have it. Don't think that you mustn't think that you're doing us a favor. We are doing you a favor.
So the Eved has the option of going out of the Jew, but he can refuse to become a Jew.
Of course he doesn't want it. But it's the same sort of thing as saying to a Negro, look here, do you want welfare? He's not working. His wife isn't working.
But he always has the right to it.
So you do it. You've got a right to it. He can say, I don't want it. He can say, I was a slave, but I'm not a slave anymore. And a slave gets, his master always gives him. I want to earn for it. I want it to be mine, but I want it to be yours. I want that welfare. He's got the right to say that. Follow? Yeah. No, that is, if he doesn't want, but no, the thing is, no Eved would ever say that. I mean, this is a status.
Yeah,
that's a bad example. I mean, take a person from one of these unfortunate people who come over from Mexico here, and you tell him, look here, as soon as you are here, 2 years, provided we don't catch you before then, but as soon as you are here, 2 years, you can become an American citizen. And he says, this isn't fair. I'm just because I'm here, I've got to already become an American citizen. I don't want to become an American citizen. So you don't want to with the greatest of pleasure.
Good analogy.
Don't want to. Of course. Right. Now let's go on. What's that?
I think you're in the middle of the order.
In the order, yes. So when it comes from a question of which is more frequent, first is a Duras, and then is a Shvuyo, and last of all is a Shifo.
No, are we reversing Shifchal with Shvuya? I mean, as far as frequency?
No. A Shifchal is less frequent because you're not allowed to do it. It's like Olam Bohem Ta'avodu. So you won't do it. A Shvuya is a mitzvah to do it.
I didn't realize women were captured that often, though.
Oh, pardon? Women.
Were captured that often. I didn't realize.
I mean, just look what happened when the women were in the camps. They were Shvuyas. Yeah, it happened in our own day. Happened to me once in Johannesburg. A Jewish woman was captured, was kidnapped by Jews.
What?
Yes, so let me go into those.
We can take it.
I know you can take it. I don't want to tell you those things that you can take. I want to tell you things that there's a point where you can't take it anymore. And that next week I come, I can see that I can take it 1 millimeter further. And if I can't, I know that either you have failed or I have failed. That's the type of take it I want. Right. Now, she leave to the vision is guy which needs to. So, that comes first, comes in a gurus as from the point of view of frequency. Next comes a shvuyo. Last comes a shivko because unfortunately one doesn't do it, one's not supposed to do it. Right? Now, but as far as the action is concerned, our first obligation is towards the Shvuyo, is Pidyon Shvuyim. So first there's the Mishnah Shenivdu. They were redeemed, that comes first. And afterwards the Shenis Gairu, because even a Jewess, although we tell it that Nochris wants to become a Jewess, if a Gentile wants to become a Jew, we say it's not necessary for you to become a Jew. Because you've got salvation, even if you're not a Jew, you've got salvation. You don't have to become a Jew to become a salvation. In fact, you might be better off as a Goy if you don't keep Shabbos as a Gentile. you can still get salvation. If you don't keep Shabbos as a Jew, you're in great, great trouble. Then you don't get salvation. So you've got to make up your mind, which would you rather be? And we tell him, and you know, it's with the suffering you've got to go through. And then he says, well, I want to have that suffering. I want to keep Shabbos. And I said, then you want it, then we accept it, you see. But, and last of all comes the question of Shinishtachru, and they were given their freedom. When they are less than 3 years old in a day, then Kusubosan was signed the Geshla in time of Basulim, their Kusubi is 200 because the Basulim grows again. But if it was after they were 3 years old, then they've got Chazokas. We take it that if a Jewish woman was captured, we take it that they lived with her. Jewish girl was captured, we take it that they lived with her. We are going to have in the second Perek, we are going to have all are there circumstances where her friends give evidence. There are several women were captured. They said, we can give evidence that this woman wasn't the group. We can take that evidence. Then the question arises, but that's time to deal with it. It's not appropriate now to deal with it.
Yes? So the inference then is that she's over 3 years.
If she's over three, she's got a chazoko that she is not a basula.
Right, okay.
And the same is with a nochris. If she's over 3 years old, she's got a chazoko that she's not a basula. And the Shifcha's got a chazoka that she's not a basula.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't mean to say that she might be a basula, but we work on the assumption that she's not. Because to Goyim, it doesn't mean as much as it does to Torah Jews. That one doesn't have an association unless there's a kesuba. It doesn't mean. You're not allowed to live with a girl unless you've given her a kesuba, which we discussed a long time ago when we were there. Right.
A fairly simple question. Do we take it to be 3 years because of the medical fact, or do we take it to be 3 years because that we establish a chazaka based on three occurrences?
Never physiologically.
Just strictly physiologically. Is there any link between these 3 years and that we establish a chazaka
based
on
nothing
three?
Nothing.
Okay, just wondering.
It's purely physiological, yes. Yes.
In the time of the Mishnah, I mean, I wouldn't think there'd be too many four-year-olds who would not be Bitsula.
You know, I covered myself with that. I said, it's possible that they are Bitsulas, but we work with the Chazoko that they are not. That is the Chazoko. It's possible that they are. But when we are working with Chazokas. This is the Chazoko we work with. It doesn't mean that to them. Doesn't mean that to them. That's the way we work.
Is there any relation
between
the fact thinking in the times of the Mishnah? I mean, was it less unusual than today for a four-year-old?
It was even over 3 years old in a day.
An association.
In other words, excuse me, Mark. I just want to listen to Stephen.
Okay. What Mark is saying is that we say for 3 years old and one day. Okay, I'm just going to say as you're asking it, we say she has a cheskes of basula. But over 3 years old and a day, she does not.
Yes.
Now, Mark is saying is that at 4 years old, was it in the time of the Mishnah practice that a four-year-old would not be a basula to any great extent?
Okay.
Did it happen?
Let me try to just get it right.
A four-year-old...
Just let me try it. We had in our previous Mishnah, a woman is an almona min ho erusin. What kesuba does she get?
200.
No question about it. She's an almona min ha'erusin, she gets 200. Because why does she get 200?
She's a
basula. If there's been nisuin,
then there's a chazaka that she's not.
Yes. Now look here. Just afterward. Let us say that the nisuin takes place at 10 o'clock in the morning. How long does the chuppah take? 20 minutes. How long does the yichud take? Half an hour. Or it can be even without the yichud. And he falls, drops down dead. What is her kesuba?
100.
Now, half an hour earlier, it was 200. Because we said we should. Now we say she's a... But that is the way we work as far as Chazokas is concerned. The Chazok is, once she's in the sewer, she hasn't got the Chazok of a Basura. You follow? That's the way it works. Does that make it a bit easier for you to understand? Right. Let's go on from there. Says Omer Avuna, says the Gemara, Omer said Avuna, Geir Koton mat bili no sewal das besi. If a goy who is, he's a koton, he's 8 years of age, he's 7 years of age, and it's a question of making him a Jew, how do we make him a Jew? We do the tvilo that is, you all know what tvilo is. Stuart, you know what tvilo is. For conversion, you've got to, take a man, you're going to make a goy and he's going to become a Jew. There've got to be, there are three stages. There is Kabbalah's mitzvahs, that is, he takes upon him to observe the Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah. The next thing is Milo. He's got to be have a bris. The third thing is he's got to have Tvilo. Actually, it goes Milo, Kabbalah's mitzvahs, Tvilo. The order isn't so important. The Tvilo is he's got to be immersed in a big mikveh, completely immersed. Have you got that? And it's done in front of a base din, and after that he's Jewish. Those are the three stages that he's got to go through, right? Now, what is the position if he's a cotton? He's only 7 years of age. Let's take him, he's 7 years of age. And now it's a question of making him Jewish. So he's got to have Kabbalah's mitzvahs, and he's got to have a tvilo. It says, so we are speaking about the tvilo. A geir koton, a goy who is 7 years of age, and it's a question of making him a Jew. We do the tvilo al das bezdin using the will of the bezdin, using the intention of the bezdin. That is, let us understand what it means. For example, if I somebody asks me, how do you sign your name? I've never seen your signature. I say, well, give me a piece of paper. And they give me a piece of paper and I sign my name. And above on the piece of paper there is a bill. $1,000. Does my signature have effect? If it's known exactly, there's no question of what the circumstances are. So, listen, yes, but I didn't have kavanah for that. I didn't have any intention for that. So my action is what we call ma'aseh kof ba'almo. You know what a kof is?
Monkey.
A kof is the animals that they've got so many of them in the San Diego Zoo. A monkey. It's a monkey. It's a kof. It doesn't have any meaning, you see. A cotton does something. It hasn't got any meaning. He doesn't know what it's all about. He doesn't know what it's all about. He goes under the water. For him, it makes no difference. A mikveh, a swimming bath, it makes no difference. A swimming pool, it makes no difference. He's got no das for it. So it's just an action without any meaning. So, but the bezdin know what the meaning is. So it's done our das bezdin. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't, but still. We've got to understand what it's about. But that is what the Gemara says, and until we get further, we won't know exactly what it means. But that's what the Gemara says. That you take a child of 7 years of age, and it's a question of making him Jewish. So, how can you do it? He's got to go to Tvilo. But what kind of tvilu is it if there's no kavod? He doesn't know what it's all about. But the bezdin know what it's about. So the bezdin do it for that. He might not be 7 years old. He might be 1 year old. So what does he know what it's about? So it's done, our das bezdin. Everything that is done has got to be done with das. I must know why I'm doing what it's about.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't know what it's about. So we use the buildings knowing what it is about, we use it for him. That's a principle. How does it work? Very good question. Should have asked the question, should have waited for me to ask that question, that we'll discuss. But before we discuss it, we must know a little bit. To discuss and not know anything, to discuss, you get in the best brain surgeon in the country. To discuss with you an intricate brain operation, it's a waste of his time. We don't know the anatomy of the brain, we don't know the physiology of it, we don't know the nerves, we don't know what he's speaking to us about. So before we can understand, we've got to know what it is about. So Omar Rav Huna said Rav Huna. Now I'm going quickly so that you get the whole sense of this. Omar Rav Huna said, Rav Huna gave cotton, a child, a Gentile child, and it's a question of making him a Jew, might be, you know, so on das bezdin. One uses the knowledge of the bezdin, that the bezdin know what it's all about, one uses that, and one is still there, the child, one immerses the child. Asks the Gemara, Michael Marshallow, what is Rav Huna telling us? There's a chus who lo that it is an advantage to him that he for him to become Jewish. V'zochin le'orum shelo b'fonov, and anything that is an advantage to a person, you can do for a person even if he doesn't know about it. For example, are we pardon? Zachin is the verb for zchus. You can give him that advantage. For example, I've got every right and nobody can stop me. If I know your bank number, of your number of your banking account, or even if I don't know the number of a banking account, taking a slip in the bank and filling in $100 and putting it to your credit. I don't have to ask you, I didn't tell you to do it. It's yours. It is yours. Why? Because zochin le'odem shelo b'fonos. But ein chovin le'odem shelo b'fonos. But I can't go and write a check and draw from your account. That I can't do. Because that's to your disadvantage. But I can do something to a person's advantage and he isn't even present. He doesn't even know I'm doing it. But I'm allowed to do it. So the Gemara says, so what is Rav Huna telling us? These chusulot, the reason is because it's a chus for the kodim to become a Jew. V'zochin le'orim shelo b'fonov. And one is mazake a person, one does something to the person's advantage, even if he isn't present, even doesn't know about it. Is that what Rav Huna is coming to teach us? Tanino. But this is something that we've already learned. Zochin le'orim shelo b'fonov, vein chovin le'orim shelo b'fonov. That already we have learned in the Baraisa. That one is mazake a person, even if he isn't present, but one cannot do anything to a person's disadvantage unless it is with his knowledge. Answers the Gemara. This is why Rav Huna tells us this. Mahu de seimo, I might have said, Oved kechovim behefkeiro nicholei. A goy would rather remain a goy than become a Jew. If he remains a goy, okay, what's all this business? What's all this business with Jews? It starts already. Rosh Hashanah. So, to what restaurant are we going? To what bar are we going? No, Rosh Hashanah, you don't go to a restaurant, to a bar. It's a new year. What do you do? We go to shul on a new year. What do you pray for? Pray for your business? No, you don't pray for yourself. Pray for God. What's all this about? All right. All right, I can get over the 2 days. And then you've got to fast the whole day. Go fast the whole day. Get over the fasting. And then the Shabbos. And after the Shabbos, a Yom Kippur. What's the Yom Kippur? Again fasting. But this time it's more than the whole day. You've got to fast from the previous evening until the following. 24 hours I've got to fast. She knows, it's after 26 hours. You've got to... You can't do it. I said, hold on. He said, look here, I've got an arrangement with my girlfriend. He said, girlfriend? Is she your wife? He says, I'd rather not be a Jew. That is how he says. Who says that it's to his advantage? Who says it's to his advantage? Perhaps, I would have said, Ma would have said, Ovid kechovim bev kero nicholei. I would have said that who says it's to his advantage? It might be to his disadvantage. To come along because this we have established. The Eved Vadi Bev Kaironi Cholei. This is one of the things about Avodim. Avodim have got Hefkairos. In sexual matters, they are completely free. Free love. That's what they believe in. That's the way they carry on. This we've already established, that a person who is an Eved wants Hefkairos. Komash Malon, Sir Avuna lets us know. The Hani Mili Godo the Torn Tam Di Suro. That is only a grown up Eved who has already tasted of the forbidden fruit and has enjoyed it. He would rather remain a Gentile. Aval Cotton, but a cotton who hasn't yet tasted the forbidden fruit. The Chushulo. To him, it is a disadvantage to become a Jew, and therefore, Beis Din can do it without his particular knowledge. It's the Beis Din, the knowledge of the Beis Din. The Beis Din doesn't need his knowledge. Now, you should already be able to see a little bit of light at the end of the long tunnel. Right? Can I go further? Ask the Gemara, just as this goes through, you have all the opportunities still to do it. I've got to... Before you can understand the Gemara, you've got to finish the whole thing. Says the Gemara, Lemo Messiah, you know, it seems I've got a support to this statement that you're making. Now we understand why Rabbi Huna said it. Rabbi Huna said it is because I could have thought that it's not a schus. It's not a schus for the cotton. So it's not a schus for him. So Rav Huna lets us know that it is a schus. But we know that a goy would rather be a goy, and an eved would certainly rather be an eved, not have all these encumbrances. Mm-hmm. We say that is only an eved if he's already tasted it. But we're speaking about a little one, 6 years old, 5 years old, 4 years old, 3 years old, might even be 1 year old. For that, it's definitely a schus for him. And if he would know what it was all about, he would want it. So for him, it is a schus. That is what the... Now says the Gemara, Lema Messiah, like, you know, I've got a support for Rav Huna. Because let us take our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it says, Haguris Vashmuya Vashifo Shenifto Fishinis Gaira Vishishaka Rupakusis Miboshalam Vibuno Shorashon Vyam Echor. Yeah, we've got a Guris who has been converted when she was less than three years old. My love, surely, the Adbelinu Adas Beistin. So how could it be? It must have been. How could she become Jewish? It said she became Jewish when she was less than 3 years old in a day. So she was a Ketana. How could she have become Jewish? So surely that it was done in this way. We used that the Beistin knew what it was all about, and we were tovel her, says the Gemara. No, they're from Yad's no proof. Hocha b'mayas kidon, b'geyushin is gairu bonov uvenosov imo. It's speaking about a geyur that his sons and his daughters became converted together with him. Now here comes a lovely little point, which you mustn't miss. They became converted together with him. And amongst the sons, his sons and daughters who became converted together with him and with the mother, there was a child of less than 3 years old. Then the Nicholahu Bemaida Ovidabur. Children are satisfied with what their parents do. If their parents take them, and they do, they are satisfied that their parents, if their parents are doing it with them together, they are satisfied. They feel that it's to their benefit. Whatever the parents do, it's doing to their benefit. You follow?
But what's the difference? It's the motive exactly the same.
What?
Apparently the reason why the Beit Din would convert the child and the reason the parent would want their child to be converted is exactly the same.
Yes, the only thing is, but what we mean, it's no good having my motive for your action. You follow, David?
Mm-hmm.
Can't have my motive for your action. Can't have that. You've got to have your motive for your action. And that is the whole thing. How do we transfer the motive of the blessing to them? So it is, in the case where you've got a father and a mother, and you've got the children convert, there we say they have a motive of their own. What is their motive of their own? It may be a bit vague, but if their parents do it, they are satisfied with it. You follow? So that is the point that you've got to be very careful of here. Omar Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, Higdilu Yecholi Limchas. When these children who are being converted al das Beis Din or by their parents, when they become of age, what does it mean? At what age would that be? Let us say, no, become of age, they haven't got das. When they become, let us say, 13 in the case of a boy and 12 in the case of a girl, Yecholi Limchas, they are permitted to protest.
Mm.
That is, they can say, very nice, yeah. Who asked? They're asking to make me Jewish? I don't want to be Jewish. You don't want to be Jewish? You're not Jewish. But if they wait till after they've had the party of the Bar Mitzvah, and then they say, now we don't want to be Jewish, that's too late. Parties for parties, you want to be Jewish. For putting on your tefillin every day, you don't want to be Jewish. That much. That we don't allow. So if one day passes and they have not protested, knowing that they have got the right to protest, and they have not protested, then they can't protest afterwards. Yes. Yeah. This is simple.
I understand, but aren't we placing them in a different category from somebody who was born a Jew?
Well, of course. If you're born a Jew, you can't protest and say you are not a Jew.
Talking about now that they're Jewish, of course, from the standpoint of allowing them to make a decision from before the time of their Bar Mitzvah.
No, then you can't do that. You're born a Jew, you stood together with the...
I understand, but I'm talking about from the standpoint of making a decision. We said, what you just said, is that the legal point, that after Bar Mitzvah they cannot decide anymore, they're not going to be Jewish?
No.
Okay.
You mean the...
But the Gemara just said that.
Yes, of course not.
That's only up until Bar Mitzvah.
Only up till that point. Actually, why I said I wanted to know what date you take it. You take it Bar Mitzvah, all right, I accept it. Actually, I think even less than Bar Mitzvah, that he understands.
Okay,
it, you see.
But we have a legal definition of a cotton is up to the time of Bar Mitzvah.
Yes.
And a cotton is really not... La Bardas. La
Bardas. But when he comes Bar Mitzvah, he is Bardas.
Right.
Yes, so, and he comes, as soon as he becomes 13 years old, he says, I don't want to be Jewish. So we say, you're right, fine, don't be Jewish.
But it has to be at that moment, though.
Yes. Once it's over that moment, it means that as a Bardas, he's accepted it. Then it's too late.
Can a cut to be Makadosh, a woman?
Yes, of course. We're cotton, what age?
Under
13. No, under 13. Under 13, he's my son, my son.
I was thinking in the sense of them protesting.
No, he's my son, my son.
And a girl would be 12.
A girl is 12, yes.
So then, what about the situation if a father gives a girl to be married, and then when she turns...
Let's see. Says the Omar Rav Yosef, as soon as they grow up, then they are allowed to protest. Abaya. So Abaya asked a question on Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef makes a statement.
Michael, are you with me?
I think so.
Body and soul. Soul also.
Oh, my Rav Yosef, said Rav Yosef.